Hi, everyone. I'm Jenna Millie with Screenwriting U, and I'm here today with Damon Gamu, who wrote and directed that Sugar movie. How are you?
No problem. Yeah, I'm very well, thanks. Yourself?
Well, I'll just start straight away. Wow, I really don't want to eat any more sugar. I feel like your movie is just amazing, and I'm kind of speechless because I'm not going to ever eat another grain of sugar. I just feel like it's so... Do you really think it is it just the drinks? Can I cut all the drinks out? Will that make me better? I don't know. I'm just thinking about myself, but
yeah, look, certainly the science is pointing to the fact that the drinks are the major problem. That, you know, if we could limit these sugary drinks, these juices, these sports drinks, soft drinks, that would be a really, really great start, just because of the way that the sugar floods the liver so quickly that we're sort of not able to process it, slow down the metabolism fast enough, so it does turn to fat very quickly. Whereas I think, you know, obviously some sugar and other foods, you know, it's not going to be a major problem with you, you know, for you. We need to understand that this is, you know, a treat is still okay. If a treat was just a treat, if people were just having a little bit of ice cream or chocolate every now and again, that's fine. But the problem is, as you see in the film, that sugar has just kind of infiltrated the food supply in such a strong way that people have kind of forgotten what the word moderation actually means anymore. And that's really the point of the film, to try and wake people up and to empower them with a better understanding and knowledge of where sugar is so that they can actually be smarter with their choice.
Well, you definitely have done that, and at least for me screening it, I thought I ate healthy. I think I do eat healthy. But, you know, there's definitely ways that I can correct myself from just personally, because, you know, I think that's what you think when you're watching the film. You're thinking, oh, how is this compared to how I live? And how can I, you know, also, how can you help other people? Like those kids in Kentucky, that was just heartbreaking. It just made me so sad to think of somebody putting a soda in a baby bottle. I mean,
yeah,
you know, just...
Right. I mean, this is happening, you know, it's happening all over the world, and we're sort of, you know, we've kind of been swept up in this very, very powerful marketing machine that sort of advertises these foods in such a way they kind of really dominate posters and billboards and advertising on TV. And quite often these sort of perceived healthy foods are also very carefully marketed in the sense that they've got pictures of flowers and bees and sunset on the cover, and people aren't taking the time to actually read the labels and see what's going on in there. They're really believing the health messages, and I guess that's the point of the film, to start creating that awareness and wake people up and empower themselves again and take their power back from the food industry and start being smarter with their food choices for themselves and especially for their children.
I think it's awesome. And just the subject matters that you, the people that you interviewed were amazing finds. I just have so many questions for you. So you talk about in the film how you got this idea because your wife was pregnant, and that's incredible, and that's such a great jumping off point. But how, just talking for filmmakers out there, how was it easy to bring this idea to your producers, or how did you, you know, get this film off the ground? And really, like, once you had the idea, what happens next for, you know, in the filmmaker's mind?
Well, like, I think as most anyone that knows, you know, especially making documentary, very sort of, there's no sort of set path or formula for making a film like that. It's such a movable feast, and it's like just assembling a giant jigsaw puzzle, really, and you sort of get money where you can and try and throw it in bits and pieces. And, you know, I guess the challenge for us was that really I wanted to make sure that we made a film that was accessible. I didn't want to make a film that, you know, might only play to a certain set of kind of film-going, film lovers at a film festival. I mean, the people that need to see this film are people that don't normally see documentaries. So, always a push for us to really try and jazz it up. And as you've seen the film, you know, there's 300 special effects shots in there. We've got Hugh Jackman in there, Stephen Fry. We've really tried to make it as broad as possible so that families could go along and they could take their children. So that had its own set of challenges, mainly obviously trying to find the finance. But the way we did it is basically I did write a script in effect. Obviously, I didn't know what was going to happen with the experiment, so that was kind of left alone. But I then did structure the narrative quite strongly to sort of show the bit that we, you know, like telling the history of sugar, but using Hugh Jackman doing sand art or Stephen Fry telling a poem that explains the different sugars. Like, that was all scripted in advance.
So clever.
Then I just, you know, again, it was just a way of trying to tell the story that hasn't been done before, trying to make it creative and fun so that we keep kids engaged. Because as you know, their attention span's not very big these days. You've really got to be on the game. And I guess really the first thing that we did was to shoot the experiment because we didn't know whether we were going to get any results. I mean, I wasn't eating any junk food. That's what people need to know, is that I wasn't having Coke and chocolate and confectionery and ice cream. I was eating only these perceived healthy foods. But I had really little understanding as to whether we'd get any changes in my body. So obviously once I started noticing those, and some of them were quite dramatic, like the fatty liver disease in just 18 days, that's really when the whole film went up to another level. And obviously I started doing a lot more reading and then really sort of reaching out to philanthropic organisations, medical groups, doctors that study this stuff, people that had kids with autism that can't have sugar. You know, this whole kind of variety of people started just chipping in money because they really believed in what we were trying to do and the fact that we were not trying to instill fear in people. We were trying to just kind of make this film for kids and families and make it really fun and use all that Willy Wonka kind of narrative and aesthetic to just sort of make an enjoyable night out. So I think that was probably a real assistance for us, is that people really did, were very kind and gave us a lot of support based on that.
I think you definitely do that too. And I love how fun it is to watch. You know, it's kind of an unfun thing to think about and you make it really interesting to watch. And of course you don't, you know, a lot of people, like you said, there's definitely a demographic for this type of film that would, is probably already like kind of a healthy person that would seek out a movie like this. And so I think that's really smart. Yep. It's really smart that you made it broad and I think accessible. Just to go back to the writing, because that is so great. How long did that take you to write, you know, to come up with those scenarios that would put in the little bits that you were doing?
Well, I guess that process was, I think I sat down for a good couple of months and just sort of plowed through it and sort of wrote down a very rough draft. And then I was just constantly refining it and changing it and sort of handing it out to people to sort of give me notes. And it's tricky because really I knew that the whole experiment would hinge on what, so the film would hinge on what happened to me in the experiment. So there was this great unknown, but at least I sort of felt a sense that we knew tone and the style and that we were always trying to look for creative ideas and trying to push the boundaries and sort of always asking ourselves what hasn't been done in a documentary before. And I guess most importantly is that I think a lot of filmmakers often forget this because we sort of deem it as art, but people actually forget about the audience. And I think that's a great shame of filmmaking, is that, you know, really, especially with a film like this, we were constantly thinking, what would a teenager think here? What would a parent be thinking at this moment? And where are they in terms of the narrative and the story? And I do feel that gets neglected. I think sometimes a creator's ego can kick in and you kind of think, well, you know, it's art. I don't care what they think. I'm not going to justify it. This is my expression. Whereas I think when you're trying to convey a message that I think is as important as this in terms of, you know, getting through people to understand what they put in their bodies, I guess it was paramount that we actually considered where they were on the journey. And are they getting bored? Are they over it by now? Is it clear? Is the science too dense? You know, we were constantly asking ourselves those questions. So it was a really fascinating process to put together.
I think that's a great note, especially for a beginner, you know, someone out there who wants to make sure that they're understood. And if you can't, if no one can understand what you're saying, then no one's going to see your art. So that's a great note. How did you stumble upon that point of view?
It was more an issue of just, I guess, I've obviously always loved cinema, and it was like, why do I love going to movies? And, you know, the night you really remember at the cinema is when you are with a giant group of audience and you're all having this shared collective experience and you're kind of going through all the motions together. And I guess I love that. And I know that more and more we're heading to this world where people are just watching movies on their own, on a laptop or on their phone, on their iPad. And it's like, well, I think it's almost a duty or a responsibility that we still have to sort of try and get people going back, because it's community, and especially for a film like this, you know, that's very special. And you might not get as strong a sense on your own in a laptop, but with a room of 400 people, you're all sharing that human experience, and it just makes it much more empathizing and powerful. And then you get a great discussion afterwards, and people, you know, as we found with the film, I've done 82 Q&As of the film around the world now, and it's just so great to hear the level of discussion and passion that people have after the film. And that's what cinema can do, and I hope that we never lose that.
It's so sad, too, with the mother, because you're thinking as you're watching it that she did that to him, and then she says she doesn't want him to be in pain, but she probably gave him the Mountain Dew.
That's right. It speaks to a lack of education. You know, it's no one's fault. I mean, that dentist is you know, he's doing four or five kids a day like that, and some of them are even younger than Larry. So, you know, it's you know, it's easy to say, well, they're ignorant, but also there's a very, very powerful marketing machine that goes on there. The lack of awareness and understanding, and, you know, I think that's why we need to sort of address that and sort of have the government step in and start to regulate some of these things so that they're not available, and these kids can't get to that point. Because some people do need help, you know, and I guess it's our duty as a collective human race to make sure we look after each other, and sadly we don't do that enough, I don't think.
Well, great point. And what have you seen, you know, the movies just sort of coming out, what have you seen, any response to any changes that have come from the film? You know, you see people going, wow.
Yeah, look, it's been incredible. In Australia, it's been out for about 3 months now, and only last week we became the highest grossing documentary of all time across
the world.
Wow! Yeah, we've had cinemas just full of kids, and they're coming back. We've had a study guide that thousands of schools have signed up for in Australia. There's free apps. We've started a foundation for the Aboriginal community in the film. The same now in London. There's a full parliamentary screening for all the UK parliamentary members. It's happening next week. We're getting the curriculum into 12,000 schools there. And so really it's been, you know, people are very ready for the message, and they're just being so supportive that, you know, I hope that translates to America now. We open obviously next Friday and, you know, in cinemas and on iTunes. But I'm, you know, hoping that the word spreads as well, and that, you know, the time is now. We can't keep letting our kids get as sick as they are. You know, the fact that type 2 diabetes and childhood obesity is skyrocketing, it's just tragedy, and it's, you know, it's a neglect on our behalf. Our generation needs to look after the next one and teach them and learn so they improve on what we've done. So the fact that we haven't done that, I think it's a great tragedy. So I'm hoping that the film can have a similar effect in America, because the issue is just as powerful as it is anywhere else in the world, and really get the message out there.
Had you planned from the beginning always to take a trip to America? Was that always part of the outline that you had done on which areas to cover?
Yeah, I mean, I guess from an Australian perspective, really a lot of those, the food industry, you know, the headquarters has always been America. You know, we've got so many products that you have here that have made their way to Australia. So I guess a lot of the, especially the sort of the politics angle and the advertising, a lot of those made decisions are made from American companies. So I did sort of think it was important to get back to that source, and especially if we were touching on elements of capitalism and what effect capitalism has had on food, and even, you know, we know how it's affected the planet and all sorts of areas, but what effect is it having on us as human beings? And I guess, you know, America really is the mecca in that sense. So I always thought it was important to not come here and judge, but just to kind of investigate, get to the source of it, talk to the right people that sort of understand how the machine works here. And I think, you know, it was very worthwhile in terms of really giving understanding to people about, you know, obviously the level of science that goes into creating some of these foods. But also, sadly, you know, some of the scientists that are paid by some of the large companies to sort of put out misleading statements in science. I mean, that's, you know, a very sad story, but, you know, it's happening and people need to realise that.
Yeah, I mean, incredible. And it's such a great, you know, it's such a great thing to talk about, because it's something that we all do every day. How do you feel now? I'm guessing you're back off sugar. Is there something that you miss, or do you go by a 7-Eleven and you're like, maybe I should just get a Coke? Or, no, does that ever happen? No. That's a joke, but.
It's very hard to describe unless people have actually done it themselves. And once you step away from that world, your palate adjusts. So even a Coke to me now would be completely overwhelming. It's just too strong a flavour, and yet I used to have two of them a day. Whereas now I can just taste the sweetness of a carrot or a banana, which is just a bizarre thing to say, because I was living that first. But your body does adjust, and you actually, once you experience a life of eating real food, then you feel the difference in your mental clarity and your physical well-being, and just your energy is more consistent throughout the day. You don't even want to touch those foods again, because I'm someone who's quite sensitive to them. So if I had a Coke now, I'd feel it straight away. I wouldn't feel great about it, and I wouldn't enjoy it. But that's very hard to understand if you've had that kind of food every single day since you were a child, which most of us have. So it really does take a bit of time to step away from that. But, you know, we're finding on our Facebook page and whatnot, I mean, it's incredible. We get sort of 200 or 300 messages a day from people that are having this experience. And, you know, it's very encouraging, because I think the more that people start noticing that, they then share it with their friends. And that's what we found happening with the film. Everyone's downloading the film. They're watching with their kids. Schools are taking it on board. And it's happening, you know, it's not just our film, it's just a real revolution going on at the moment, and people are returning back to real food as much as they can.
Well, I think it's great too. And I read a study recently that it only takes 66 days to break a habit. So if you do something, if you do something for, I guess, what is that, a little more than two months, and you can really make a change. It's just sticking to that, you know, those first tough weeks.
Yeah, that makes sense. Look, everyone's different. I know some people have said, oh, gee, you know, 4 or 5 days later after lowering my sugar, I felt much better. And then other people say it took a couple of weeks. And then other people say, gee, giving up sugar's harder than giving up cigarettes. So, you know, everyone is different. It all depends on a whole range of factors in your body. But I think when people see the film, you know, we're certainly not out to demonize sugar. We're not telling people you can never have it again. It's just about really getting people to be smarter about it and go, look, you can still have your chocolate or your ice cream at the end of the day. That's perfectly fine. But maybe don't have the low-fat yogurt and the apple juice and the granola bar on the same day, because that's really what's getting your sugar count up.
Yeah. It sounds like also, too, if you added it yourself, it would almost just kind of taste better. I don't know if people in Australia put sugar in plain yogurt, but my husband's French, and that's a huge thing they do in France. They don't have sugar really in their yogurt. They just add it. And ever since I tried that, I think it tastes better to me.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, what we encourage is that what's even better is that you take the real yogurt, especially for kids, and you just put a handful of blueberries or half a banana, and then you whisk it up in the blender. And bang, you get all the natural sweetness there from the real fruit with the fiber as well. And again, it's an even better sort of choice for you than having the refined stuff. So, look, there are lots of different ways to get around it. It just takes a bit of effort and thinking. And again, just, you know, what we're battling against is the convenience of, you know, people are time poor these days. So it is easy to go and get a pre-made low-fat yogurt. But people just need to be aware that quite often those kind of tubs have got 5 or 6 teaspoons of added sugar in them. And there's your daily amount that you're recommended in just one tub of yogurt. If you then throw an apple juice and a can of Coke and some ice cream on top of that, suddenly you're going to be at 40 teaspoons of sugar a day, and that's really what most of us are doing.
I mean, when you went to Jamba Juice, I thought I was going to fall over. That was crazy. That was so much.
More evidence is showing that, you know, just sugar, especially those liquid forms, whether it comes from a Coke or whether it comes from a Jamba Juice, you know, it still floods that liver very quickly.
And yeah.
We're not able to process that amount of that fructose so quickly. So, you know, it's just raising that awareness, because at the moment, you know, especially those Jamba Juice, they've just got the kelp halo that says, well, it's from fruit, got to be fine.
Yes.
Fruit is terrific, but in its whole form, as we're supposed to have it, with all the fiber that slows down the metabolism that's so important, but once you mess with that structure and suddenly you're putting, you know, 15 mangoes into a drink that you could never normally have on your own, suddenly you're obviously getting way too much sugar. So that's just about being smart about it.
Well, it's awesome that you put that in there. My son's preschool, Jamba Juice, a Jamba Juice truck used to come there every Friday and hand out Jamba Juice to all the kids. And you would never have a Coke truck doing that. So it's really exciting what you've done. I think it's awesome. And thank you so much. And it's amazing that it's the highest, you know, money maker for documentaries. I can't wait to see what happens when it opens here.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I hope it does. I hope it's one of those things that knowing when people do see it, they do want to share it with someone they love or their friends or their family or their kids. So, you know, I guess if we just can get enough people seeing the film in America in the first few weeks, then hopefully it'll just start to spread out. So
I'm sure it will. Well, thank you so much. And I can't wait to see your next project. I'm sure you're already working on another one, or is something coming after this?
Yeah, it's really exploded beyond any of us and what we thought. So I'm just sort of seeing this one through, at least to release it around the world, and then I'm going to take a bit of a deep breath and then sort of start getting the next one. But I do have an idea, and I'm just going to make sure I've got a little daughter now, a baby, so I'm just going to make sure I have important family time as well.
Well, that sounds great. Well, thank you so much. And when you do your next project, I'll be here. So we'll hopefully chat again.
Perfect.
All right.
Okay. All the best to you. Thank you.
Thanks. Take care. Bye.